So we're reading from chapter, canto 2, chapter 7, shloka 5. I'll just read the meaning once more. To create different planetary systems, I had to undergo austerities and penance, and the Lord, thus being pleased with me, incarnated in four sanas, Sanak, Sanat Kumar, Sanandana, and Sanatana. In the previous creation, the spiritual truth was devastated, but the four sanas explained it so nicely that the truth at once became clearly perceived by the sages. So here, Lord Brahma is speaking to his son Narad Muni, and he is telling that, you know, how the creation happened, and when the one kalpa finishes to another kalpa, the knowledge was devastated. But then when he was trying to create this kalpa, he wanted to establish the principles of dharma again and to facilitate this desire. These four sons were mind born from Brahma's mind. So they appeared from Brahma's mind. So Lord Brahma desired. What did he desire? That he wanted to establish the Vedic principle, Sanatan Dharma, again in the new Kalpa. So that was his desire. And as a result of that desire, what happened? These four sons appeared. Now, these four sons were to spread and create the new generation in the newly made planet. But as soon as these four sons came, they realized that if we grow up, then this pull of Maya, which is in the form of with kam vasana, will engulf our mind. And when this kam vasana engulfs the mind, it is so strong that spiritual progress becomes very, very difficult. So as soon as they realize that, oh, this is going to happen, they asked for the boon from Lord Brahma, that, oh, my father, dear father, since we have come, we want to remain 5-year-olds. We don't want to grow beyond 5-year-olds. So Lord Brahma kind of agreed to their desire, but then he was very, very angry. His eyes became red, because there was a purpose for these four Kumaras to come. And it's mentioned that with that anger, Lord Shiva appeared. So that's why it's called that these four Kumaras are elder brothers of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva appeared in the form of ignorance, because he appeared due to the anger by Lord Brahma. And they were given the task of destruction, correct? So again in 11th canto, Lord Shri Krishna is explaining, saying that etavan yoga adishto machisa sanaka bhi. So he's saying that I taught the perfect yoga system to these four Kumaras headed by Sanaka. So Sanaka, you know, so the eldest brother was leading the thing, and Lord Krishna explained him all the yogas. And when Lord himself teaches someone, what happens? They become perfect. So these four Kumaras are perfect in all mystic powers, all mystic siddhis, you know, Ashta Siddhi we call it. So these four Kumaras were perfect in all siddhis, and these siddhis involved, you know, becoming as big they want to become, becoming as small they wanted to become, travel anywhere, control their senses, control the wind. So they could travel everywhere. And we learnt in, I think, previous classes that they went to Vaikuntha, and the whole pastimes about Jai Vijay happened because they could travel everywhere. They could even travel to the Vaikuntha. Now, when they were kid, they first received Gopal mantra in disciplic succession, and this Gopal mantra is mentioned in Gopal Tapni Upanishad of Atharveda, and they established one of the four sampradayas, authentic sampradayas. So the four sampradayas are Brahma Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, Kumar Sampradaya, and Rudra Sampradaya. So the Rudra Sampradaya was established by Lord Shiva, but that's also authentic, Vaishnav Sampradaya. And Kumar Sampradaya was established by these four Kumaras. So when these four sanas, the four Kumaras, were traveling all over the universes, they were going to see Prithu Maharaj. So Prithu Maharaj is another incarnation of Lord, and he was ruling the planet very, very nicely. He established the dharma everywhere, and as soon as they saw that Prithu Maharaj saw that these four Kumaras coming to his kingdom, he becomes very, very ecstatic, and he starts to prepare and he starts to run to receive them. He becomes very, very attracted to these four Kumaras. Now, how you get attracted, how you become enthusiastic to receive someone, because when you see someone is like-minded, when you see someone is, when you feel ecstatic to see someone, or when you see Mahaprasad Prabhu, you see, oh wow, Mahaprasad Prabhu is coming, you'll run towards him to get him, because you would realize that, oh, it will be only benefit of us, some Vaishnavas appearing or giving darshan. Because whenever a Vaishnava comes, he would only give you something. He would only remind you about Krishna, correct? So, the Prithu Maharaj became very, very happy that, these four Kumaras are coming who are none other than incarnation of Lord, and they were coming to perfect the world. Now all this knowledge which is coming to us is coming through disciplic succession from these four acharyas of four disciplic succession. That's why, when we sing in the morning Samsara Dhava, there's a line called Sakshat Dhare Tvena Samasta Shastre. So this Samasta Shastre is there referring to these acharyas are carrying all the shastras, all the knowledge of shastras in their heart. So when these four Kumaras are coming, that kind of, since they were acharyas, they set up the whole disciplic succession of Sampradaya, they ought to receive that kind of respect as much as you give to Lord Shri Krishna. Correct? So, Prithu Maharaj is showing by example. And all this knowledge which Prabhupada is giving in purport, like when Prabhupada started the purport, he's saying that we are qualitative the same, but quantitative we are much less. And Prabhupada gives various examples, wherein he tells that he gives example of the drop of water from ocean and the ocean itself are qualitatively same, but the quantitatively small. Yeah. So Prabhupada is repeated here in the purport. So both Prithu Maharaj and four Kumaras, they both were qualitatively the same. and they both were attracted to each other. So he goes, he receives the four Kumaras, he washes their feet, and then takes the Charnamrit from their feet on his head. So Charnamrit is Charan Amrit. So Charnamrit is when you pour, you wash the lotus feet of Lord or devotees of Lord, then it becomes Charan Amrit. So Charan Amrit, Charnamrit. So he takes the Charnamrit, sprinkles on his head and drinks it, and all the Praja is supposed to follow the Raja, correct? So Raja is setting the example how to receive a Vaishnav by giving them perfect respect, by giving them proper place to seat, washing their feet, taking the feet as the Charnamrit from the feet as prasadam. And by doing that, everybody gets Agyat Sukriti, even though they don't intend to do, they don't know what's happening, they don't know what is being done, but still they get a lot of Agyat Sukriti. And why does it happen that they get Agyat Sukriti? Because it says, Premanjana Chureta Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadevra Hidareshu Vilokayanti. So, जो संता है वो हमेशा सदैव हृदयेषु हार्ट में विल लुक एट ही इज ऑलवेज कैरिंग लॉर्ड इन हिज हार्ट. सो व्हेन दैट काइंड ऑफ संता इज कमिंग अराइविंग टू यू और यू गेटिंग दर्शन, वी शुड टेक फुल एडवांटेज ऑफ दैट बिकॉज ही इज कैरिंग लॉर्ड इन हिज हार्ट एंड ही कैन गिव दैट लॉर्ड हिज हार्ट. एंड व्हेन ही इज when we are doing darshan of Sanchita, Premanjana, so he has the anjana means kajal, so he has that kajal of prema or Lord's love for Lord in his eyes, so Premanjana. So when these when the four Kumaras were seated, they were treated nicely, they washed was feet nice nicely, then Prithu Maharaj starts to glorify these four Kumaras. So Prithu Maharaj says that you are the purest, you are the highest, you have all the Ashta Siddhis, you can travel everywhere, you have all the knowledge, because you know in the meaning translation as well we saw that Lord Brahma is telling that they came to spread the knowledge. They were given all the knowledge, and then they explained the knowledge so nicely that it was understood easily. So he praises, Prithu Maharaj praises these four Kumaras and asks him very genuine question. It was not like he was trying to make it up, but very genuine question he asked that, I am Grihastha and I have responsibility to run the whole planet, whole material existence at the time. Do I have any chance to perfect my life and find liberation? Liberation means go back to Godhead. That shows the humility, you know, such a perfect Vaishnava, such a perfect king, and having so much control over the whole entire existence at that time. And Prithu Maharaj is compared to Lord Indra, Prithu Maharaj is compared to the planet people, the other personalities ruling the planets, different planets, because he was equally capable, he was equally strong, but still he had that humility, and he's saying, do I stand any chance for liberation? Do I stand any chance to perfect my life? And he's saying that since you four Kumaras are here, and if you're pleased with me, please accept my whole kingdom, my family and myself to your lotus feet, and we offer that to you. You know, like when some santa or some great personality come, you offer something to them in exchange for their mercy, the giving. So in exchange for these four Kumaras to come to his plan, his kingdom, he was offering everything to the lotus feet of these four Kumaras, and he is sincerely asking them question, do I stand any chance to get make this life perfect? And after seeing the sincere bhava of Prithu Maharaj, the four Kumaras, they started speaking, and they say that they tell him that even though you are in Grihastha Ashram, which is padam padam yat viptam na tesha, means every step there are impediments in the Grihastha life, still if someone is engaged in always listening to the speakers who are glorifying Lord's pastimes, you can cross the impediments of these Grihastha life. And you know, Krishna's told in Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? We were looking at, you know, the weather's cold outside, and we're thinking, you know, it's so cold. Then in summer it becomes so hot. You know, Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya Sitoshna Sukha Dukhada Agma Paino Nitya Stam Tatekshra Bharata. So he's saying that, you know, like if heat or cold, winter or summer, sukh or dukh, whichever way, whatever the external conditions are, if we are always thinking about Krishna, we'll definitely achieve them. And same things repeated by the four Kumaras to Parikshit Maharaj, that if we are always fixing our mind to the lotus feet of Krishna by always listening to the speaker who are glorifying devotees and Lord Shri Krishna's pastime, then we can achieve the perfection. Then he's saying by listening to the then he's explaining further that how it happens, you know. So he's saying that for when we are listening to the audience, to the speaker who are speaking Krishna's pastime, then we'll develop attachment to the lotus feet. Once we have attachment to lotus feet of Krishna, then we'll have desire to do devotional service. And the biggest devotional service is hearing and chanting of glories of the Lord. And in devotional service, we will have association of devotees. Of course, you know, like if you want to do devotional service, you would go to a spiritual master to understand how should I do devotional service. When you're doing devotional service, you will serve the devotees of the Lord. You will get devotee association. And they're saying that there is no other peace than there's no other peace in this material world, which is Dhavalanagli Agni, than having association of devotees. Don't we realize, like, you know, when we see devotees, when we're meeting devotees, it's so pleasing, you know, because if a devotee meets us, then he will always remind of Krishna. He will only talk about Krishna, or he will We will do kirtan in devotee association. So it kinds of brings the forest fire of material world down. Then he says that one should be non-violent toward other entities, other living entities. And then he gives instruction that we should follow the footsteps of other acharyas or other Vaishnavas. So there are 12 Mahajanas whose footsteps we need to follow, and these four Kumaras are one of the 12 Mahajanas for whom we are recommended to follow the footsteps. And if you have to follow their footsteps for these four Kumaras, then they're showing us the path that, you know, they're always visiting Vaishnavas, they're always talking about, always speaking about Krishna, always inspiring us to do devotional service. And then they say that we need to follow regulated principles. So, I mean, the more we read Bhagavatam, the more we read that how to make our life perfect, the more appreciation for Prabhupada increases. Because whatever instructions were given by four Kumaras to Prithu Maharaj on his inquiry to perfect his life, Srila Prabhupada has imbibed in our daily life. He has given us all these instructions given by him for us to follow. He's made it easier for us. You know, like when we were kids, and there used to be a lot of big syllabus, we used to get a small book called Kunji, which used to have the only question answer which will come in the exam. So those who are a lazy student, they would just look at the Kunji and just remember the question answers so that they can pass the exam. So Prabhupada has kind of, knowing that we are all mudas, and knowing that we have so many impediments in our life and so many limitations with our material existence, he's created that Kunji for us. He's created Mangalarti for us. He's created Tulsi Arti for us. He's translated all these scriptures, books for us. He's created this devotee association for us, correct? So all these things which Prithu Maharaj was told by four Kumaras, Prabhupada created for us, that we are able to constantly hear about Krishna's pastime by Bhagavad Gita class, Bhagavatam class, listening to Prabhupada's classes, celebrating all these festivals. We are able to have devotee association in the, you know, like in the Middle East, in the middle of nowhere. And then we are able to follow the regulative principles of no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. And Prithu Maharaj says that the four Kumaras says that once we have fixed attachment to the Lord's lotus feet, then there will be detachment within our heart from the material activities. So how the detachment within our heart, you know, in purport Prabhupada is mentioning that when we have detachment in our heart and we are able to fix our consciousness to lotus feet of Krishna, we can see Krishna within. We can see the Lord Supreme Personality of Godhead within. Is like the fire within the wood burns the wood itself. So if we have that detachment, if we have attachment to Krishna, that the detachment itself will be coming from our heart, like the fire within the wood comes from our heart and burns the wood itself. It will burn all the material desire itself, and once those material desires are burned, we'll be able to see Krishna ourselves. So I'll just go to the purport again and read. These four sannas are incarnations of the knowledge of Supreme Lord, and as such they explain transcendental knowledge so explicitly that all sages could at once assimilate this knowledge without least difficulty. By following the footsteps of the four Kumaras, one can at once see the personality of Godhead within oneself. So if we are devoid of material desires, if we are then the difference between external and internal finishes, as the difference between dream and dreamer will finish. So if somebody is dreaming to be in Golok Vrindavan and he's practicing Krishna consciousness, then he would definitely wake up in Krishna Loka. So that difference between the dream and dreamer will finish. So if we see that these were the incarnation, and then we are seeing this chapter about all the incarnation, I thought we'll kind of go through all the types of incarnations and their some of the examples. I mean, even though there are unlimited incarnations of the Lord, so I'll probably share I've tried to put it in a presentation. I'll share it on the screen. Can you see the screen? Hare Krishna?
Yes, probably.
So there are six types of avatars, which is Purush avatara, Leela avatars, Guna avatar, Manvantra avatar, and Yuga avatars, and Shaktivesha avatars. So, we keep coming stumbling upon these names, but I thought we can look into details each of these type of avatars, so when we are speaking about them we have more knowledge about them. So the three first Purusha avatars were these were the first avatars of Krishna, which are Karna, Daksha, Vishnu, who's also called Mahavishnu, and he is the first expansion, and he with his mind the whole material creation was manifested. And then Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So Garbhodakshaya Vishnu comes and manifests in every of these universe and does the preservance of these universe, and he's lying on universal ocean. And then Shirodakshaya Vishnu, who's Paramatma within, so he enters each and every atom and everyone's heart. So the Shirodakshaya Vishnu. So Karan ocean, which is casual ocean, causal ocean, which is Karan Dakshaya Vishnu. Then Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Garab. So we can remember by the garb that he enters the garb of every universe to preserve, and Shiro Dakshaya Vishnu, who's lying on the ocean of milk, and he's Paramatma within everyone's heart. So these are the three first incarnations of as Vishnu, Krishna, Purushavatara. Then comes Leela avatars. So these are Leela avatars, which these avatars are manifested for particular pastime, and you see that first of these Leela avatars is Kumara avatars, four Kumaras, and then Nara, then Varaha, Matsya, Yajna. So these avatars are manifested for one particular pastime, and then then we know that from Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is explaining why he takes avatars. He says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthana dharmasya tadatmani sujami ham. Yeah. So we can see the Prithu avatar is here, Narasimha avatar is here, Kurma avatar is here. So we'll cover number of these avatars in this chapter 2.7.5, 2.7. And then comes guna avatars, which are the three gunas, the Vishnu, Brahma, Shiva. So Vishnu avatar is in mode of goodness, and the job is to maintain these material manifestations. Then Brahma, who's tasked with creation of these material manifestation, and Shiva with in tamas guna for mode of ignorance. So these are the Trinity, and then these are confused with the highest things, highest lords in the how we grew up listening to. But then when we have the Shastric knowledge, we get to see as per Shastra that these are the three avatars of Krishna in three different modes with particular tasks for them. Then comes fourth type, which is Manvantara avatars. So every Manvantara is one Brahma's day, which is 1,000 cycles of Chatur Yoga, and is every Brahma's day is divided into 14 periods, and each of those 14 periods are ruled by Manus, fathers of mankind. So these Manus are designations given to these personalities, and for every 14 periods of Brahma's day, there's a different Manu who rules that period. So we are right now currently into seventh Manu, which is Manu's period, which is whose name is Vamana, and he's incarnated as Vaivasvata Manu, who's son of Vivasvan. You remember in Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, we learned in chapter 4 that Krishna first explained to Vivasvan, Bhagavad Gita to Vivasvan, and then Vivasvan to Manu. So this is he is that personality, Vivasvata Manu, who's son of Vivasvan. And through his disciplic succession, we received all this knowledge. Then comes number fifth, which is Yuga avatars. So Krishna has appeared as an incarnation every millennium, and in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's said in chapter Canto 10, chapter 8:13. It says in the past he assumed three different colors, white, red, and yellow, and now he appeared in a blackish color. So in Satyug, a white avatar appeared to Kardama Muni and Devahuti Mata, which Mahaprasad Prabhu explained in his last class, to establish meditation as the process of self-realization. And there was Lord Kapil Dev. Then in Treta Yuga, the Lord appeared as red avatar, is glorified by the names Vishnu Yagna. So he's appeared in the form of yagnas, and devotees made their life perfect by performing yagnas and homas. So he was also called as Shrini Garbha, Sarvadeva, Gurukrama, Prakshapakapi, Jayanta, and Urugaya. And in Dwapar Yug, as dark avatar, Krishna appeared as a son of Devaki to establish temple worship as the process of self-realization. And in Kalyug, as yellow avatar, appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as son of Sachi Mata, to establish the chanting of holy name, Nam Sankirtan, as a process of self-realization. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as a in the mood of devotee. So he has set up example for us to follow his footstep, that how a devotee should worship Lord, or should perfect their life. I mean, you know, he's given the Shishtashtakam to us, and he's saying that Cheto Darpan Marjanam. So he's given all these instructions that how we can clean our heart by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Then he's given instruction Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahushuna. So he's saying that we should be humble than the blade of grass and tolerant than the tree. So he's given us all these instructions to be followed in Kali Yuga. So these are Yuga Avataras, and they establish the principles for those Yugas, like what should we do to perfect our life is as per the condition of that Yuga or that time period. Correct? Then number 6 is Satyavesha Avataras, there is no limit of Satyavesha in incarnations, because they can happen in two ways. One is direct, Sakshat, and the other way is indirect, which is Avesha incarnation. So direct Sakshat incarnation, where Lord himself performs the pastime, showing his different Shaktis. Redirect, where he empowers other personalities. So like four Kumaras were empowered with knowledge, Narad Muni was empowered with devotional service, Lord Brahma was empowered with creative power, King Prithu empowered with power to maintain the living beings, Purushuram empowered with power of all kind of evil elements, and Vedvyasa to compile the Vedas. So these are some of the examples of the Shaktivesha avataras. So these are the 6 type of avataras we'll cover in this chapter. So Purusha avataras, Leela avatar, Guna avatar, Manvantara avatar, Yuga avatar, and Shaktivesha avataras. So this is all knowledge given to us by Krishna through the disciplic succession, which means that there was no there's no intention for us to have a blind faith, or you know, like, because nothing is created by the mental concoction. This is all coming through the disciplic succession, and by doing this we can dissolve the granthi, you know, the hirdaya granthi. We have this shloka where Lord is saying that there's a granthi. Hirdaya granthi means like a tight knot in our heart of material desire. It can be dissolved by focusing on the lotus sort of feet of Krishna and serving the devotees. So these are the two very important things. And how we can focus on the lotus feet of Krishna, as told by Sanatan, by the four Kumaras to Prithu Maharaj, is by always chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, serving the devotees of the Lord by association of devotees of the Lord, being non-violent, by following the footsteps of following the footsteps of all the acharyas, the four mahajanas, and all the acharyas in the parampara, and by following the regulative principles, by not blaspheming the devotees, and by constantly serving the devotees of the Lord. So now if we have to follow the acharyas, we can see that the various bhajans which we sing, the Vaishnava bhajans we sing, and the mood in those bhajans we can imbibe in our heart. So you know, like we have this bhajan, Hey Gopinath, Mama Nivedana Shuno Gopinath, Mama Nivedana Shuno. So here Lord, here Narottam Das Thakur is saying that, you know, please hear my Nivedan. So we can do that, you know, we can do that Nivedan, we can do that prayer to the Lord. That he's saying kichu nahi mora guna. So I don't have any guna, I don't have any qualities to serve you, but please allow me to serve you. You know, like the in Tulsi prayer we are saying again, you know, Dina Krishna Dase Koi Yei Nei Jena Mura Hoi Shri Radha Govinda Preme Sada Yena Bhasi. So put us always in Radha Krishna prema. So we can imbibe these qualities by listening to more, by following the acharyas, and acharyas are given all these gyan, all these kunji, all these question answers to pass the exam in these scriptures, in their writings. So with that, I'll conclude and. Please bless me. Whatever I said today, I could follow one day myself, and I'm able to glorify and serve the devotees. Hare Krishna. If you have any comments, corrections, please correct me if I've done any mistake. Mahaprasad Prabhu, Anand Vrindavan Prabhu, Sudama Prabhu.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for enlightening us. You corrected us. We don't need to correct you, actually. And you covered so nice points from Kumar, the four Kumaras and Prithu Maharaj episode, actually. You very nicely said that the question which Prithu Maharaj asked, do we Grihastha have a chance to go back to Godhead? So that was very nicely answered by four Kumaras, as you said, that yes, it is possible, and the ways he suggested is, we must notice that ways suggested by him, that he said follow regulative principles, which Prabhupada also said, and you said that we have to follow regulative principles. By following regulative principles, we try to keep ourselves away from sinful mind activities. So that's very important to follow regulative principles. Then he said that hear Krishna Katha regularly. Mm-hmm. That is very important. Sravana, without Sravana, there is nothing actually. You can't progress in spiritual life. Sravana is very important, always listening to the glories of Krishna. And the third thing he said, I think, serving the Vaishnavas. Mm-hmm. You said, I think, third thing was serving the Vaishnavas.
Yeah.
So, three, four things which Prabhuji suggested during his class is applicable to all of us, actually. We should carry that very much and live in our day-to-day lives. And Prabhuji also said at one point of time about how Prithu Maharaj welcomed these four Kumaras. He was so happy to see all these four Kumaras. That's very important, actually. Vaishnavas are enlightened by seeing the Vaishnavas. And they washed, and Prithu Maharaj being, he also is an incarnation of Lord, and he washed the lotus feet of Kumaras and took that as Charanamrit. So that he explained what Charanamrit means, Charan plus Amrit. So that's very important. So we should have attachment to Vaishnavas, and we should have attachment to Krishna Katha. These two things are very important. And Prabhuji also explained that why hearing to Krishna Katha can liberate us, because Prabhupada explained that by hearing Krishna Katha, we get attachment to Krishna. Krishna's lotus feet. And as we get attached to Krishna's lotus feet, our Maya Granthi get dissolves, and our way towards Krishna becomes very, prominent. It becomes clear, actually. So that's very good explanation. And Prabhuji very nicely showed these all six guna, six avatars charts. That was very important, very nice. And just I want to say one thing on these charts, that in the Leela avatars, the 23rd incarnation is shown as Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
The third incarnation is shown as Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So when Swami was explaining these all 25 incarnations in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, so after speaking about all these 25 incarnations, though the incarnations are innumerable, he says mm-hmm. that as many waves are there in the ocean, the incarnations are more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, Sutta Goswami also cautioned us that, okay, I have mentioned Krishna as one of the incarnations, but please be mindful that ete chamsa kalapumsa krishnastu bhagwan swayam indari vyakulam lokam radiyanti yuge yuge. So whatever I have explained, they are either kalas or amshas of the Purna Purush. But Krishna himself is the Purna Purush. He himself is the swayam. He is not a kala or he is not a amsha. He himself is the complete Bhagavan manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
So we should understand that he's not avatar, he's avatari.
Mm-hmm.
He's the fountainhead of all the avatars. So we must take note of, we should not understand that Krishna is one of the avatars. No, mm-hmm. he's the avatari, as explained by Sutta Goswami, that ete chamsa kala pumsa krishnastu Bhagavan swayam. So that we must remember that Krishna is not one of the avatars, but he is the fountain head of all the avatars. He is the complete manifestation. He is the original Parampurush. He is the original person. So, apart from Prabhuji's class, we should take that Hari Katha is very important. We should more and more try to hear Hari Katha. We should keep away from these offenses. We should follow the four regulative principles. And Jive Daya, we should have a non-violent attitude, approach towards the Jivas. These are very important, and having trying to serve the lotus feet of the Vaishnava. These four things we should take away from Prabhu's class today. That's my take, Prabhuji, and thank you so much for enlightening us. Your class, as usual, was very complete and very comprehensive, and what you say, that practical points were there, a lot of practical points. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thanks for summarizing.
Thank you.
Very nice class, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
And this, you made this slide is very good. Too much clear regarding the different avatars, mm-hmm. especially Purusha avatars. I was confused little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's very, very clear and very nice slide. Please share, Prabhu, after this.
Yeah, definitely, I'll share. No, I used to get confused as well with this. I used to always mixing up things. So I thought, I'll do a bit research and put together in the slide.
Okay. Mostly confusion came with Rama avatar, because he is Purushottam Rama, so we think that this is Purusha avatar, Purushottam Rama, okay. Maryada Purushottam.
Correct.
But that is Leela avatar actually, so very, very clear now. Thank you,
Guru. Thanks, Lord Prabhuji. Yeah.
Mahaprasad Prabhuji, Sudama Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Rajabhumi and Vaishnavas.
Hare Krishna
Prabhuji. As always, we really enjoyed the class. Thank you very much. I think you've done a wonderful research to really clarify the points Srila Prabhupada made in the purport, which is very nice, especially on the avatars. It's nice to know and to get a refresher to be able to clearly understand the difference between the different kind of avatars. But I think one of the best thing that I heard today is the way you linked Srila Prabhupada's mission to the mission of the Kumaras. That was just spot on, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Basically, we have to know that any kind of religious practice is not created by man, or even by sages, or even by devas.
Yeah.
Religion is actually set by God Himself. There is a wonderful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that Dharman tu saksat Bhagavat
Panita.
Wonderful verse. It's described that the real religion principles are enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It has to start from Him. Otherwise, it's concoction. A man cannot create a religion. That's why there's so much confusion in this world. People are just coming up with their own religious concept from the way they understand and misguiding society. So when Brahma, at the end of the millennium, when Lord Brahma wanted to re-establish religion or introduce the Vedic concept, the Vedic teachings once again to the next millennium, because as you know, when we talk about millennium, Krishna is coming millennium after millennium. There is that wonderful verse, you know, Paritranayam sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapana traya sambhavami yuge yuge. That yuge yuge is millennium after millennium. What is a millennium? When we talk about millennium, we talk about 1,000. 1,000 means within a day of Brahma, you have 1,000 Chaturyugas. Kaliyug, Vaprayug, Tretayug, Satyug are coming again and again 1,000 times. So that makes a millennium. That millennium is a day for Lord Brahma. So there is a partial devastation at the end of that Brahma's day. So what happened is at the end of that Brahma's day, everything is wiped partially. So Brahma has the obligation to make sure that the Vedas, the teaching, the concepts of religion are introduced once again. Yeah, that's why he's praying, he's meditating to make sure that Krishna assists him. So he wonderfully explained how the Kumaras, Lord Krishna incarnated in the form of knowledge incarnation, in the form of the Kumaras. So from the Kumaras, that knowledge is disseminated. Yeah. So in other words, that Krishna himself invested his knowledge, his Shakti in the form of knowledge into this incarnation, the Kumaras. From them, they were teaching all the sages, all the Saptarishis, all the great personalities learned from him, from the four Kumaras. So basically, they made it easy. You know, the knowledge that's been invested by Sri Krishna into the four Kumaras made it easy for all the sages, for all the devatas, for all the living entities to learn about the concept of this whole religious concept. So you linked it so nicely how Srila Prabhupada also made it very easy for us by following the footstep of Krutu Maharaj by creating this wonderful program. Mm. Yeah, there was a lot of confusion how we can standardize our devotional life, our spiritual life. He made it so easy in a way that anyone can practice. In a day, we know exactly what we need to do. We know what to do when we get up, shower, clean ourselves, and meditating on Lord Krishna, chanting the holy name, associating with bodhis, worshipping Tulsi Devi, offering food to Lord Krishna, and you know, having prasad and distributing prasad. All these practices have been made very easy by Srila Prabhupada, all of us, you know, following the footsteps of the four Kumaras. So that was very nicely explained. You also touched that beautiful verse from Brahma Samhita. Ramanjana charita bhakti vilochane santa sadaiva hadayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundara chinta guna swarupam govindam ari purusham tam maham bhajami. Wonderful verse. Brahma is saying, I worship Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotees, whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. When the devotees' eyes are anointed with the pulp of love for Krishna, then he is saying, you are seen. Your eternal form, Ashyam Sundar, situated within the heart of all the devotees, are actually seen directly, or you perceive directly. In other words, when we have that love, when our eyes are anointed with the pulp of love for Krishna, then Krishna manifests himself. You know, we can feel the presence of Krishna, and we can enjoy our devotional practice. So you've explained that so nicely as well. I really appreciate that. But one thing you can clarify, which you haven't clarified, I don't want to do it, maybe you could do it. Mm-hmm. There was a nice point that's been made about the difference between Sanat and Sanatana Dharma. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada is also explaining the living entity is positively eternal, but the Lord is superlatively eternal. Mm-hmm. I don't think you explained that to everyone. I think for the benefit of everyone, maybe you can explain what Prabhupada meant, the jivas, even though qualitatively was supposed to be similar or the same, but that quality, there is some difference there, and he is explaining it as positively eternal and superlatively eternal. Mm. So I will give you a chance to explain that, otherwise I can comment on it as well if you want.
Sure. Prabhupada, so here I think, correct me if I'm wrong, that here, since jivas also qualitatively eternal, but at the time of inhalation, I mean, everything goes back into Brahma, everything goes back into Krishna and then comes back, and we forget the previous, what happened in the previous kalpa or previous manifestation. But Krishna remembers, so he's like superlatively eternal, so he knows past, present and future. So correct me if I'm wrong, Prabhu, and add if you
I think that's right. Just to make it easier, when we talk about positively eternal, when Prabhupada is saying that, he's touching the concept of the marginal potency of the Lord. Marginal in the sense that when the living entities are trapped in the material world, that so-called eternity is blurred, isn't it? Even though the soul is eternal, it appears, for so long as they are within the material world, there's birth and death, birth and death, birth and death. So the living entity is bewildered, thinking that he's not eternal. You know, everyone is thinking that we're dying, right? Here in the material world, everybody thinks, oh, death is coming, we're going to die. But we don't die. I mean, Krishna explained, we don't die. It's the physical body which is deteriorating, and then eventually we leave the body.
Correct.
So, whereas when we say superlatively Krishna is eternal, he doesn't go through that experience that we go through. Because we are marginal, we keep falling down in the material world, and, you know, there's birth and death. The soul is trapped in that so-called non-eternity. So that's where the difference is. Otherwise, qualitatively, yes, we are the same. Jiva and God, we're both eternal. But when we are trapped within the material world, that eternity is blurred, making the living entities think that we're not eternal, but we are eternal. That's where the confusion, that's where Maya comes. Everybody thinks we're not eternal, therefore let's enjoy. Before I die, let me maximize my effort and enjoy. And then we get trapped again. So that's a slight difference in the Prabhupada's touching, which is a wonderful point as well. And thank you. And I like the point you made about the Agyata Sukriti as well. Devotees should take advantage of this Agyata Sukriti. Agyata Sukriti is when somebody performs devotional service unknowingly. They don't know, but you know, when we do Harinam on the street, everyone is chanting, and people don't know who devotees are, but they follow them. It's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They don't know what they're doing, but they're chanting, they're associating, they're smiling towards the devotees. It's Agyata Sukriti. When you give a food offer to Krishna, to various people, materialistic people, whatever, they don't know. It's a sanctified food. But they respect that prasad and they get purified. It's Agyata Sukriti. So as much as possible, when we perform devotional service, we should give others the opportunity to be exposed. It's exposure. We're exposing them in a spiritual devotional atmosphere, and somehow or other they connect it. Even if they're not practicing daily, they get purified. They get saved from the greatest type of fear, which is coming back in as an animal or plant or whatever. At least they get a chance to take birth as a human being, in a devotee family or whatever, and they can progress with their spiritual life. So I think you touched that point very nicely as well. Thank you.
Thanks,
I think we should give everyone a chance if anyone has a question. Thank you, Vrajabhumi.
Thanks, Lord Prabhu, for enlightening us.
Sudha.